God is able. I'm going to consider several passages of Scripture which refer to God's ability. God's ability really is the same subject as God's omnipotence, which means that God is all-powerful. God has all power, and therefore he is able to do all things whatsoever he wills to do. God's power or ability is limited only by his own divine, holy, and righteous nature. For example, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 6, verse 18, that it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot break his own promises to his people, which is essentially what Hebrews 6, 18 is referring to. God cannot sin. God cannot do anything contrary to his own nature any more than sinful man can do anything contrary to his nature. Now, the word able in the Bible means power, or to have power or ability to do whatever one wants to do. It is from the same Greek root word that is translated power in other places in the Bible. So for God to be able means that nothing or no one or no circumstances whatsoever can possibly prevent God from doing whatever he wants to do. God is able. Okay, so let's get into the Scriptures and see some of the things that God and Christ and the Holy Scripture are able to do. First, we see that God the Father is able. It is not easy to distinguish between God the Father and Jesus the Son when it comes to what both of these persons of the Holy Trinity are able to do. In fact, all the things that we will mention can be applied, I'm sure, to both the Father and the Son. And for that matter, the Holy Spirit of God is equally involved in carrying out all the mighty works of God that he is able to do. But the passages that we will see this morning make the distinction, so that is how we're going to approach it. All right. So I'm just going to go down through several things. I don't really have a distinctive order to them, but I'm just going to mention several things that the Scripture tell us that God is able to do. And I'm going to read these verses for the sake of time, because we have several. So if you're pretty fast at turning in your Bible or whatever you use for a Bible. Now, if I'm trying to follow along with somebody who's reading 100 Scriptures, I can pretty much follow on my phone Bible program, but I can't do so well in my hard copy of my Bible. But anyway, so if you're really fast, you might be able to try to keep up with these. First of all, God is able to deliver his people from wicked men. Some of our favorite Bible stories that we teach the kids, they're my favorite Bible stories too. So we never grow old in that regard, I guess. But remember back in Daniel and the three Hebrew children, and how that Nebuchadnezzar had created this great image and caused all of the people to bow down and to worship at a certain time. And recall the three Hebrew children and what they told Nebuchadnezzar when they were told to bow down to that image. And I'm just going to read the verse that pertains to that. You can go back to Daniel chapter 3 and read the story. It is a wonderful account there of the faithfulness of these three young men to their God and not being willing to bend, bow, or burn, right? And so that's a wonderful story. But Daniel 3, verse 17, these three Hebrew children responded to Nebuchadnezzar by saying, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and will deliver us from out of thine hand, O king. Whether he delivers us out of the furnace or not, that's going to be God's sovereign prerogative, whether he's willing to do that or lets us burn. But either way, he's going to deliver us from you. God is able to deliver us from this old sinful world. He's able to deliver us from sinful men. who would do us harm, who are his enemies. God was able to deliver Daniel out of the mouths of the hungry lions. Another one of those wonderful stories that we like to teach to our little children. And again, as adults, certainly enjoy this story as well. Daniel in the lion's den. In the den of lions. Depends on how you say that. You might think there was just one lion. There was a bunch of lions down there, and they were hungry. And so we know the story. You go back in Daniel 6 and read about that, and you see how that Daniel, you know, refused to cease to pray and to open his windows and his curtains and pray toward Jerusalem so that all could see him. And, of course, he was not allowed to do that because of the decree that has been passed. So, to make a long story short, because Daniel would not obey the king's rule or law, that they cast Daniel into this den of hungry lions. And the king was all upset because he didn't want Daniel to be cast in there. And so he was all worried. He couldn't sleep all night, you know. And he ran to the lion den, you know, in the morning to find out if Daniel's God had delivered him from the mouths of lions. And we'll pick up there, Daniel 6, verse 20 through 22. It says, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice." This is King Darius. "A lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" And he's thinking, I wonder if I'll hear anything. Then Daniel said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." So God was able to deliver the three Hebrew children from Nebuchadnezzar, that great, proud, and haughty king over there, and from the fiery furnace, and he was able to deliver Daniel from the mouths of these hungry lions. Our God is able to deliver his people, and he knows how to do it. And we see many examples in the scripture of how he did. So, okay. God is able to humble the pride of man. We mentioned Nebuchadnezzar there with the three Hebrew children, and he was a proud and haughty king. He thought he was it. Of course, he was the king of the most powerful nation that this world had ever known, at least up to that point in time. Babylon, it was a world power. It was a world chief power of the entire world at that time in history. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of it. So he was considered to be a great, mighty king, and he was greatly feared by the nations of the world at that time. But just going to pick up, and if you could read over Daniel 4, you see how the God had humbled Nebuchadnezzar, and you read the story about how God did that. But this was a quote from Nebuchadnezzar himself, and I'm just going to read Daniel 4:37, and I know we like to read other verses there, but Daniel 4:37 says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven." He has a great change in tone, a great change of attitude of heart towards the God of heaven. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways of judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And of course, he was chiefly speaking of himself, because God humbled Nebuchadnezzar, caused him to go out and graze as an ox out in the grass, you know. So anyway, God is able to humble. Talking about the salvation, you know, sinners by nature are proud and haughty. Mankind likes to think of himself much more highly than he ought to think. He thinks he's, you know, he has the ability and the power of himself to save himself or whatever. But man is weak and man is frail. And man can do nothing. But God has power to humble even the proudest and haughtiest of all sinners. You wonder, you know, how can people be saved? How are people ever going to be saved? They won't hear. They won't have this one, this Jesus, to reign over them. They don't want God. They don't want his son. They don't want to hear the gospel. They're never going to be saved. What hope is there? God is able to humble the proudest and haughtiest of sinners that this world has ever known. And Nebuchadnezzar certainly was a great example of how God was able to humble the proudest of men. And beloved, I want to let you know, and I think we all probably know this anyway, but every one of us has a proud and haughty nature in us. Every one of us is proud and haughty by nature. We're all proud and haughty. We all reject the God of heaven. None of us want him. None of us want his son. None of us want his salvation. None of us would come unto him that we might have life because of our old proud and haughty nature. None of us wants to see that we need Jesus. But beloved, we need Jesus. You need Jesus. Whether you see it or not, you need Jesus. And God is able. I thank God that God is able to humble the proudest of sinners and save even the chiefest of sinners. The Bible says that God is able to keep you from falling. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." We'll see a little bit more about that here in a minute. But God is able to keep his people from falling. Sometimes we feel weak. Sometimes we feel like we're not able to continue on or to keep on steadfast in our faith. But God is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We don't need to fear because God is holding us. God is able to hold us in his grip. In John 10:29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand," Jesus said. No man is able to get them out, get us out of the Father's hand. We're held secure and tightly within his grip, and no one can take us out of his hand. Beloved, that's security. We're in God's hand. Who could ever take us out of the hands of Almighty God? God is able to keep us from being separated from him. All these things are just different ways, more or less, of saying that God is able to keep us who are saved. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing that you can possibly think of could separate us from the love of our God. Nothing can take us out of his mighty hand. And he is able to keep us from falling. God is able to make us stand. Romans 14:4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." So going along with this same thought, you know, are we weak in faith? Do we fall short of what we ought to be or what we want to be or what we need to be as Christians? Well, you know, that's something we can work on, but God is able to make us stand. God will make us stand. You know, there's going to be, you have a church, you're going to have people at different levels of growth, different stages of Christian growth, and some are going to be weak and some are going to be strong. And there's going to be a lot of different variations in what we do and how we practice our faith. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't all come to the perfect man as the Bible teaches. You know, we all should grow up in the faith and those things. But regardless of what level we're at in our Christian faith, our walk, our growth in Christ, God will make us to stand. God will uphold us, and we shall never fall. If we're saved by his grace, we've truly trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood for our sins, we'll never fall. We'll never get out of his mighty grip. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let us not judge one another, as Paul said in Romans 14. God is able to make all grace abound toward us. 2 Corinthians Chapter 9, verse 8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." We might think, well, I don't really have what it takes. I really don't have the ability. I don't have, you know, I don't have the knowledge, or I don't have the skills, or I don't have whatever it might be to take that I need to serve the Lord, or to be a good witness, or whatever it might be. Do we lack the ability to live the Christian life or to serve the Lord? Well, beloved, God is able to enable us. He is able to make all grace abound toward us, in that we can, through His and by His grace, we're able to do every good work, Paul said. You know, we're not able to do anything in and of ourselves. Preachers don't preach in and of themselves, by their own strength or power. If we do, then we're going to be fruitless. We're not going to glorify God in that. We rely on the Lord. So anything we do in service of the Lord, no matter who we are, we still rely on the Lord for His grace to help in time of need. God is able to do far more than we are even able to ask or think. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. There is nothing that God can't do that we ask Him to do, so long as it is within His will and not against His nature. We can't even imagine, we can't even think up of anything that God is not able to do. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God. For men, things are impossible, but for God, nothing is impossible. Now, on the other side of God's mercy, love, and grace, we also notice that God is able to destroy body and soul in hell. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." James said in James 4:12, it says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" This is a very real fact of God. And all people would do well to fear God and to repent and to come to Him through Jesus Christ, His Son. Otherwise, they will have to stand before Him in judgment and be destroyed by His wrath. Fear Him who is able to kill both body and soul, destroy both body and soul in hell. And last, concerning the Father here, God is able to graft in Israel. I'm only bringing this out because Israel many times is neglected, I believe, in churches, in the Christian circles, in our preaching. Romans 11:23, the Apostle Paul said, "And they also, if they abide, shall still not, still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Now, you have to read Romans 11 to see the context there, but Israel was, of course, because of their unbelief. They had fallen short, and the gospel was preached unto the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were saved, and the Jews, of course, rejected their Messiah. But one day, God is going to graft them in again. One day, God is going to save Israel, His chosen nation and people. And we've been preaching and talking about that in the book of Revelation on Sunday evenings. God is able to bring Israel back. And in a world that is hostile towards Israel and thinks very little of Israel's existence as a nation, it is worth noting that one day God is going to restore Israel to Himself, and then He is going to make Israel the greatest nation that this world has ever known. And most people in most nations today would laugh and make fun of such an impossibility. But one day soon, I believe that the laugh is going to be on them. As we're getting ready now, we're studying talked a little bit about the millennial kingdom last Sunday night in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 there. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem in Israel over this whole earth for 1,000 years. Well, secondly, we want to see that Jesus is able. Just as God the Father is able to do whatsoever he wills, so Jesus the Son is also able to do whatsoever he wills. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he, that is Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus is able to save you to the uttermost. And just think of that word, uttermost. It's just amazing how his salvation is so full and so complete. He doesn't just kind of save us a little bit. He saves us to the uttermost. He's interceding for us right now at the right hand of God. Jesus is able to keep us. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Whatsoever we have committed to his trust and his care, whether it be our souls or whether it be our lives in this world, Jesus is able to keep us safe and secure forever. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded that your Savior can keep you unto the end, all the way into eternity? He is able. He's able to save us to the uttermost. He's able to keep us to the uttermost. Jesus is able to heal. Just an example of Jesus' healing power in Matthew 9, verse 27 through 30. The Bible says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came unto him. And Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to heal your blind condition and give and restore your sight? Do you believe that Jesus is able? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, we believe you are able. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged him, saying, see that no man know it. Jesus is able to do this. Jesus is able to heal cancer. He's able to heal the most serious disease or affliction that man may have, if it be so his will to do so. He's able. Do you believe he's able? Do you believe he's able to save? Do you believe he's able to heal your soul? Do you believe he's able to heal all your diseases? Jesus is able to help us. How many of you ever need help? Well, you know, a lot of times, vain is the help of men. A lot of times in life, we need help, but man can't help us. There's a lot of times, a lot of things in life come our way that men just can't help us. People can't help us. So therefore, we are helpless from the human standpoint. But Hebrews says in Hebrews 2:17-18, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, and make real reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor there just means to help, to come to their aid. He's able to help. He's been there. He took upon our nature. He lived in this world. He was tempted like no man had ever been tempted, yet without sin. And he can help us. He sympathizes with us. Not only can he help us, but he's willing to help us. And he sympathizes with our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus is not only able, but he's willing. And he's the loving and lowly and compassionate Savior. And he just tells us to come unto him, and we will find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And then Jesus is able to change our vile bodies. Philippians 3, verse 20, 21, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Jesus Christ is able to subdue these old vile bodies. He's able to change them, as we talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that he's going to change these vile bodies in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Beloved, this old mortality, this old vile flesh is going to put on immortality. He is able to change our vile bodies. Speaking of the resurrection, speaking of his return for his people. You know, and when you're young, you're strong, and you're usually strong and healthy when you're young. If you're going to be, that's when it's going to be anyway. And as you get a little older, and you get a little older, and you get a little weaker and a little more feeble, you first thing you can't remember, you know, what you've done, and your memory starts slipping, and when you turn around 20, in my case, about 30, I think I started noticing I wasn't remembering things as quite as well as I was, and I'm 65 now, and how long have I been up here? So I was talking to a fellow I was working with the other day. He's talking about that, and he wasn't as old as I was. Yeah, I know what you mean. But beloved, he's able to change these old vile bodies and give us glorious bodies, perfect bodies. And thirdly and finally, God's word is able. God's word is able to make you wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15, the Bible says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And James said in James 1:21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, we understand that the written word of God is made effectual by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who enables us to receive and to believe the word of God. But it's the word of God that God uses to effectually work in us to believe and to be saved. And we pray that God might even be pleased this very day to make his word effectual to anyone here that might be here and lost, and also to us who are saved. Beloved, we all need the effectual working of God in and through his word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:15-16, Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's the power of God. It's basically that word there, power, in referring to the gospel, is almost, it's just a very slight derivative different than the word able that we've been studying here. Power of the gospel. The gospel is the power. It's the dynamite that God uses to cause men to repent and to believe and be saved. Power of God unto salvation. And God's word is able to build us up. Now, once we're saved, it's not like it's all over. It's not like we have arrived at perfection or something. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 32, speaking there to the elders of Ephesus, he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." It is able to build you up. That's the same definition of the word we use, or the Bible uses many times, edify. To build up, to build us up in our most holy faith, to strengthen us in the things of the Lord. The word of God is able to build us up. Well, maybe we're not being very built up. Maybe we're kind of weak. Maybe we're not really we're seemingly kind of feeble and faltering. Well, maybe we aren't being built up with the Word of God like we need to be. Well, in conclusion, God is able to do all things. God's Son is able to do all things. God's Word is able to make you wise unto salvation in Jesus Christ. Beloved, we are unable, but God is able. We are weak, but God is strong. We are unable to save ourselves and keep ourselves, but God is able to save and to keep us. Are you lost in your sins? The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes it. The Word of God is able to make you wise unto salvation. Do you lack the ability to live for Christ and to serve Him? God is able to make all grace abound toward you. We can do all things by the grace of God. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Are you weak and feeble? God is able to make you stand, that you will never fall. God is able to keep you safe in His mighty hand and prevent you from ever being separated from His love. Are you a helpless sinner who is unable to save yourself? Jesus is able to save you to the uttermost if you come unto God by Him. My friends, this is the only way anyone can come to God, and that is through Jesus and the saving work that He did on the cross for sinners. That is the only way to come to God. That is the only way that God will accept sinful man is through His Son, through faith in His work on Calvary. Come to Jesus. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He is the meek and lowly in heart, and in Him you will find rest unto your souls.